As we prepare our hearts and minds for the message today, I want to invite you to bow with me in a word of quiet prayer. Amen. So I got a text from my sister today. I'm the oldest of four. I have two brothers and a sister. And we're constantly on text conversation with each other. Oh, some days we don't talk, but today we sure did. And she was simply telling me what's going on in Minneapolis-St. Paul. It was this week that the violence in Minneapolis-St. Paul erupted as another person was killed with police violence. And we look at this and say, what is going on? Well, my sister texted me. She lives in North Minneapolis. And we look to ask, what is happening? And she wanted us to know that she's in a safe zone. She wanted us to know that she was okay. And then we got to ask her questions. In the midst of this texting conversation, I was taken back in my memory to 1968. I was a boy. And it was in 1968 that we saw our nation just erupt in violence. We saw it erupt in violence with the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. We saw it with the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. We saw it in the violence and the riots in Chicago at the Democratic Convention that year. Oh my gosh, it was just this unbelievable year as we continued to be in the midst of the Vietnam conflict and all of the protesting that was going on inside of this. It was just a wild year. And you just say, is this ever going to end? And here's the word of hope that I want to give you today. The violence that we live in today, the chaos that we live in today, the pandemic that we live in today, none of this is going to last forever. There will come a time when this will pass. But here's where I want to go with this today. A lot of times what we will say to each other is, oh, if only we could see the light at the end of the tunnel. If only we could see that there was going to be an end to this. It's not like that. It's not like that. Isn't it a strange thing that we look at some of the chaos that is happening inside of our world, we look at some of the levels of violence or things that are just wrong inside of our communities, our states, our nations, our regions, and we say if we could just get to that light at the end of the tunnel, well, then we get there. And the assumption is that with that end of the tunnel, that we're going to be in a happy place, that life is going to be better. But have you noticed, oh, I know you have you noticed that when one crisis is done, we're already in the next? What would happen? What would happen if we would see the light at the end of this tunnel with Minneapolis? And let's pretend that we can actually get to a point of resolution and peace and justice. Well, then what? Well, by that time, new issues of injustice will have erupted around the nation. What would happen if we could, for instance, in climate justice, working with all of the climate change that's going on, what would happen if we could magically get to a place where now we're done with that? Then what? Well, we still would have to go back and clean up the mess that we've made. What would happen? What would happen? What would happen? It's not about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not about finding the place where we're all done and now we're living in peace. Beware. Beware, because there are times in our faith when we just say, oh, Jesus is coming, and then everything will come to an end and the world will be good again. when I read scripture closely, that's not what I'm reading. What I read is that God is going to be coming again. Jesus Christ is alive in our midst and is here to fix the world. It's not that the world stops and we all have a grand escape plan out of here. No. There is no planet B. This is our planet. This is our home. These are our communities. These are our states. These are our pandemics. These are our issues. This is our violence. This is where we live. So the question is not, oh, when is Jesus going to come and make it all better? The question to me is, when is God, how is God going to come and equip us so that we can bring healing to our world? I'm not waiting for God to fix it. I'm waiting for God to give us the empowerment, the abilities, the skills, the leadership to deal with these issues while we are here. I want to take you inside 2 Peter today. In 2 Peter, which we have been working our way through, the focus of this little book is all about dissension within the church. And there was a passage in here that really caught me inside of this. And it was talking about people who were making trouble within the community that was the church. And he says, the writer of 2 Peter says this, "These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words." Empty, boastful words. Now that was in the New International Version. I want to share with you what the New Revised Standard says, because I really like this wording. And it says, "These people are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the deepest darkness has been reserved, for they speak bombastic nonsense." I like that. I like that. People who are making trouble are speaking bombastic nonsense. When we talk about the trouble that is within our communities, our cities, our nation, when we talk about the issues of governance and leadership, a lot of times what happens is that we are surrounded by bombastic nonsense on every level of governments, in every nation. You can find the people who just love to hear the sound of their voice, even when they have nothing to say. And so today I want to encourage you to be listening for the people who really have something to say, and especially if you are one of those people. I want to give you the courage in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the violence that we see around the world, I want to give you the encouragement to be brave in how you can speak, in what you can say. The reading that you heard from the book of Ecclesiastes today is my favorite parable in the entire Bible. Ecclesiastes 9, beginning in that 13th verse. "And there was a city, a small city, that was besieged by a large army, and a wise man in the city knew how to save it. And so he went to the king and whispered to him, and the city was saved." And I love that there's a moral to the story. Better are the whispers of a wise man than the shouts of a ruler among fools, for one man can do much damage. I love these words. They have been true for thousands of years. I want you to stop and think about what is going on in your life right now, and how much of it are you trying to sort out? What is real news? What is fake news? What is conspiracy, and what is reality? What is it that is spoken in anger and what it is spoken in peace? What is it that is spoken in ignorance and what is it that is spoken in a true grasp of the situation? It is very, very tempting, especially in our social media, to be listening to all of the violence and the chaos that's going on. I think back to 1968. For those of you who were alive back then, or for those of you who have watched some of the history, one of the things that was very different in 1968 was the fact that we really only had three news outlets on television: CBS, NBC, and ABC. And I doubt that there was a person in the United States who did not know the name, the face, and the voice of the CBS newscaster, Walter Cronkite. Every evening, every weekday, Walter Cronkite was on. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it is. He finished every newscast with those words. And there was a trust that we were able to say, ah, that's the way it is. Well, of course, in our society today, with thousands of places that we can find our news, social media, all of the television, all of radio, all on computer, online, so many places and ways, it's very, very confusing to try to find the accurate information. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to look and listen for the quiet, wise people in your lives. Maybe it is that favorite news source that you can get that you know is reliable. Maybe it is a person inside of your life. But how do you combat bombastic nonsense? I think the way that we fight bombastic nonsense is, first of all, by stepping back, by not jumping in with the argument and jumping in with our opinion and jumping in with our vocalizing of today's news, but instead rather step back. Take a moment to be quiet. This is one of the reasons why I love daily prayer times. For me, those prayer times are in the morning. But whenever they can happen in your life, they're incredibly important when we have the chance to shut off the television, to shut off the news, to shut off the day, and to simply be quiet in God's presence, listening. Because the fact of the matter is that quiet people aren't loud. You have to listen for them. But it is the wise, quiet people who are the ones who have the insight. This is crucial. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that I dearly love. Proverbs 26:11. And it says this: like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Ha! Did you know that the word vomit is actually in the Bible? I love that verse because it is so incredibly true. When we allow ourselves to become fools, we will return to the same nonsense, and we are invited into bombastic nonsense all the time. What it means to be quiet and wise is to quit playing the game. It means that we have to step out of line, be quiet, listen, learn, absorb. This is what we're about. I believe that in our Christian faith, there is a huge calling for this to happen. Not to get sucked into YouTube, not to get sucked into Facebook, not to get sucked into the gossip circles that is social media's lifeblood, but rather to quietly and independently claim God's presence, claim God's wisdom, claim the presence of Jesus Christ, and imitate that Jesus Christ. We are God's hands. We are God's feet. We are God's eyes and ears and mouth, but only if we will step back and focus ourselves in a calmness that says, we can make a difference as the hands and feet of Christ if we will quietly rely on wisdom and quietly put that into action. I want to share with you one of the poems that has made such a difference to me. Rudyard Kipling. It's the poem, If. I want you to think about a phrase that means a lot to me. It's the phrase, non-anxious presence. How is it that we can be present with people and not bring our worries, our angers, our frustrations into it? When we have a non-anxious presence, we have the ability to change things within our world. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves, to make a trap for fools. Or watch the things you've given your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can take one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and to hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither friends nor foes can hurt you. If all men count with you but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run. Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. These are words of wisdom. One of the things that we deal with a lot in our world today is fear. We saw it 3 months ago with people hoarding toilet paper. But today we see it in far different ways. And I will warn you, we're going to see a lot more of it in the months that are to come. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for dealing with fear that says, wait, wait, wait. We don't have to move rashly. We don't have to fall into the trap of gossip. We don't have to fall into the trap of violence. There is a way to stand nonviolently. There is a way to stand in loving ways. There are ways to stand caringly, in compassion, past racial differences, past financial differences, past family differences. Past all of the differences, there is a way for us to stand in the face of bombastic nonsense. We have the ability to stand in God's presence with God's armor wrapped around us and to be the loving hands and feet of Christ. May it be this week that you live in the face of bombastic nonsense and choose a different path. Choose a different way. May it be In Christ's name, amen. All right, my friends, bow with me and let's pray. And what we're going to pray today is the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Good week, my friends.